This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Well here on Joy 94.9. Tex and Jason with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Thanks as always to Doug and the Rainbow Report team for another great show. Good evening, Jason, and how are you this evening, my dear?
I'm very well, Tex, thank you. How are you?
Look, I'm okay. A bit of a rush to get into the studio tonight, but we have a sensational show ahead of us tonight.
What are we talking about tonight?
Well, tonight we have a joy star with us. A joy star.
Elaborate.
Well, we have Kaz Mitchell, and when Kaz speaks later tonight, there is going to be no mistaking that this is a voice that the listener, the regular listener to Joy, will know this voice. Kaz is going to be talking about counselling and also art therapy. So it's going to be a really interesting show, I think. Now, we're going to, of course, very soon we'll have a snippet of news. Later on, we'll have the usual stuff we do where we run through important events happening around town.
There's plenty.
And there is plenty of stuff happening around town, as always. But, Jason, we love to hear from our listener. Now, how on earth can they get in contact with us tonight? What sort of platforms are available, Doug?
Tex, I love it when you talk platforms. Well, the easiest ways to communicate with us during the show are by sending an email to onair@joy.org.au or sending an SMS to 0427-JOY949. Otherwise, if you want to keep in touch with us between shows, you can follow us on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. Or just check out joy.org.au for more details.
Indeed, and we were updating our Facebook page earlier tonight. We had a bit of difficulty with Facebook earlier tonight, but we got there eventually.
I just wasn't cooperating with you. On my end, it was fine.
It was.
What were you doing, Tex?
I don't know what I was doing.
It's a great way for you to give us feedback on what you think of the shows, or to continue the conversation. We often post links to some of the research articles that we discuss every week from websites like AIDSMAP. It's a great opportunity for you to ask questions about some of the maybe more complex topics that we talk about from week to week, including the one that we're going to be covering just after the next track.
Indeed, Jason. And look, what's really interesting about this track is it's from Hawaii. The artist who's performing the song is now elate, as in he is no longer with us on this plane. He goes by the nickname Iz, but his full name, I'm going to try this one, it's Israel Kamakaiwili. How does that
try
sound
that
to
again?
You, darling?
No, I think you need to try that again.
Okay, Israel Kamakaiwili.
Yeah, that'll do.
Okay, well, let's give it a burl and let's see what this track sounds like. This is Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. That's right. This is Joy 94.9 and you're listening to Well, 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 brought to you by the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. And tonight you're with Jason and myself, Tex. And that was the late Iz, here the nickname he goes by, and his real name is Israel Kamakaiwili. And, of course, it was Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And I can see you out of the corner of my eye, Jason, having a bit of a giggle over my pronunciation.
No, I was nodding. I was quite impressed.
Are you all impressed? Oh, good.
Genuinely impressed, Tex. Why do you always think I'm laughing at you?
I don't know, Jason. This is the part of the show, though, where we do our news snippets. And, of course, our regular listener is used to us shuffling the paper so it sounds like we're sitting at our news desk. And tonight we have a story out of AIDS Map. We often rabbit on about AIDS Map, but it is a sensational website, AIDSMAP.com. So AIDSMAP, M-A-P.com.
One more time.
AIDSMAP.com. And it's a great site with information about HIV/AIDS and sexually transmitted infections. And tonight's story is about HIV, and it details with, it's a story going on about HIV increases the risk of heart attack, even in people who have a suppressed viral load. Now, this is a recently published story from AIDS Map. It was published 2 days ago, so it's up-to-date information. The story goes on to say that infection with HIV is associated with an increased risk of a heart attack, and investigators from the United States of America's report in the Journal of American Medical Association of Internal Medicine have reported this. Now, importantly, they say that this finding was based upon comparison of HIV positive and HIV negative individuals with the same demographic and cardiovascular risk profiles. Now, overall, the infection with HIV was associated with a 50% increase in the risk of a heart attack beyond what could be explained by other risk factors. Now, HIV infection is independently associated with AMI, that's acute myocardial infarction, or basically heart attack. I mean, why do they use these dreadful terms? Basically, they're talking about heart attacks. That's after adjusting for a whole range of, a whole range of assessments that they make. And these may be also comorbidities and substance abuse. But they also talk extensively in this report about the Framingham risk.
What's that, Tex?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Jason.
Shall I take over?
Look, the Framingham Heart Study is used to predict the risk of developing a myocardial infarction or a heart attack.
Let's just stick with heart attack.
We'll stick with heart attack, I think. Or death from coronary disease within the next 10 years. Now, the tool is designed for people aged 20 years and older without a known heart disease already and people who don't have diabetes. And the quiz assesses the cardiac risk factors and estimates the chance of a heart attack.
And it takes into consideration risk factors like age, cigarette smoking, total cholesterol, HDL cholesterol, which is the good cholesterol, blood pressure, and kind of puts them all together to formulate a score.
Yeah.
And it's great that they've actually used this, because we've often talked about research studies that have identified an increased risk for cardiovascular disease among people living with HIV, but a lot of that earlier research has only been able to identify that association between infection with HIV and increased risk, but wasn't able to control for some of those other factors like smoking, age, diet, and the like.
Oh, yeah, indeed. Now, the study population comprised approximately, and this is quite a big figure, 84,500 individuals who were prospectively monitored between 2003 and 2009. Now, nearly 27,500 of those people were HIV positive.
I found was quite high.
It is quite high.
And it's third.
It's quite high. And when we talked about a study last week on the show where the risk factor, the number of people within a study was about 5%. Mm. So it is quite a high number.
In some ways, it's good for the purpose of the study in that it gives you a good, powerful sample of people living with HIV to kind of use it for your analysis. But
And when you take in those 84,500 people, the mean age was approximately 48 years. 97% of the participants were male, and about 50% of them were African Americans. In fact, the exact figure was 48%.
Now, when they kind of took everything into consideration, including that that Framingham risk score, they found that they were pretty much similar. between both groups. But when they looked at the number of heart attacks, 42% of them involved people with living with HIV.
Yeah, and HIV-infected people involved in the study were more likely to smoke and to have lower HDL cholesterol and high
triglycerides.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's essentially the level of fats in your blood.
Mm.
But, yeah, so overall, even when they restricted it to people who had never smoked, they still found that there was an increased risk of heart attack, regardless of those other risk factors, just simply due to HIV infection.
Indeed. Look, we need to go and play some important community service announcements, but we will be listing this study on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. So you'll be able to look there, or you could just go to the AIDS Map website, aidsmap.com, and it's one of the lead stories currently on the site itself.
Just come to our Facebook page. It's much more fun.
Or come to our Facebook page. It's much more fun. You get to see a photo of Jason and I, which, let's face it, gorgeous photos. This is a Well 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 here on Joy 94.9. This is Well 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 here on Joy 94.9, and joining Jason and I in the studio tonight is our guest Kaz Mitchell. Kaz has joined us to chat about herself, her work in counselling, and really importantly, counselling and art therapy. Good evening, Kaz, and welcome for the first time to Well Well Well.
Good evening, and Tex, can I say, what a pleasure to finally meet you, because you've been were a fan of the Women's Zone for quite a few years, I think.
Oh, yes, more than a few years.
Sending text messages to me all the time. And what a great introduction you gave me, by the way. I was blushing during that.
I was already to say that the regular Joy listener will have recognised your voice because you are a recognised personality in your own self here on Joy and through the Women's Zone, which lovely music. Lovely
Thank
music,
you.
I must say. I mean, I've probably said it lots of time through texts, phone calls and emails, but in person.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Now, Kaz, perhaps to start with, you could share with Jason, myself and our Well 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 listener a little about your connection to Joy, Joy 94.9. Like, for example, how long have you been a presenter on Joy, and why did you get involved with the station?
Okay, well, now, I think it probably goes back to 2004, I think, was the first time I came along to Joy. Mm-hmm. And I was actually a guest on that occasion too, because I'm also a musician, Well, I'm a has-been musician. I don't really do much of that anymore. But at the time, I was actually being interviewed for my own music on a show called The Powder Room. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, I remember
Peggy.
The Powder Room.
Yes.
Yes.
And Peggy actually invited me to come on and do a monthly show with her presenting women's music. And I thought, goodness, I'd never dreamed of being on radio before. And I went along and absolutely fell in love with it. Just loved it. Loved being on radio. Loved hearing the sound of my own voice, basically.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about the shows that you've been involved with in the past, and the listener may still hear you on air from time to time?
I think I stayed with the Powder Room for about a couple of years, and then eventually ended up having my own weekly show, the Women's Zone, which is a independent music with female musicians. And I think I started off on a Wednesday night, the 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the morning.
Prime
time. Sort of graveyard shift, which I am hopeless with because I'm not a night person. So I got shifted around a little bit and then ended up settling in the Saturday afternoons slot 3 to 5 for quite a few years. And yes, loved it. Had to give it up, though, sadly, because I just got too busy with other things. And one of the things I always prided myself for the show was finding new talented singer-songwriters that people might not have heard of, and that takes a little bit of time to find them. So
particularly for a weekly show that's 2 hours long.
Yes, yeah, that's right. So sadly, something had to give at the time. I was so busy and that had to go. But I do occasionally pop up on Three Chords and the Truth.
Indeed.
On a Sunday.
Alex and Andy?
Yes.
Now, Kaz, why do you think community radio is important? I guess to our community, to the Rainbow community, I suppose that could be extended further out, but for our community, why is community radio so important?
Well, look, I think it just gives a great message to people out there who may be coming out, so for the young ones, for any age really, let's face it, who's maybe been struggling with their identity. It gives a really strong positive message that we're out here and we're proud and we ain't going anywhere.
Well, ain't that the truth? We're not going anywhere, although we are going to hear a short piece of music, and this is by The Seekers, so it's a bit of folk music, and I chose it especially because it's the name of this show, and I think you'll discover that very quickly. This is Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9.
Well,
Joy 94.9.
Indeed, Joy 94.9. We love being here. And if you've just joined us, Jason and I are chatting with our special guest tonight, Kaz Mitchell. Now, Kaz, you've come in to talk about your work as a counsellor and your work as a counsellor and art therapy. But perhaps if we start with counselling, I'm interested in what branch you practice. For example, are you into Gestalt or, as I like to say, talking to the empty chair? I went to see someone who said, Tex, I'd like you to address the empty chair. I said, you'll only address it if you're sitting in it. So is that your style of counselling?
Yeah, look, I have used that from time to time. It can be quite a useful little tool for certain people, but a lot of people also do sort of think you're crazy when we talk to an empty chair, so you have to be very careful about who you use it with. But yeah, look, I probably use a bit of a mix of different styles of counselling. My training background is initially as an art therapist, which I know we're going to talk about later, but that was very much from a sort of psychodynamic and also Jungian kind of perspective. The counselling I'm kind of more doing now is kind of more person centred, in that the person is the expert, the client is the expert, not me as a counsellor. So trying to work with them, with their strengths. But look, I use a little bit of everything, a little bit of CBT, a little bit of Gestalt. I love existential therapy, which I don't get me started on because you'll never get me off.
Can you give us a little bit of an explanation about what that is?
Yeah, well, look, basically it's around the fact that in life there are sets of givens that we can't change. Mm-hmm. You know, how tall we are, which in my case is not very tall at all. The colour of our eyes, where we're born, which kind of family we're born into. And primarily the fact that we're all going to die. So there are certain givens that we have in life, and how do we kind of put meaning to life, and how do we take responsibility for our own choices in life, and so on and so forth. And it sounds quite depressing when you talk to people about dying, but in actual fact it's an incredibly powerful way to work with people, because it's about getting people to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the volunteering that you do, but you also have your own practice.
I do, yes.
Is there a particular community that you work that you work specifically with, or
no?
Tell us a bit about it.
No, I'm kind of pretty much kind of open to seeing anyone who has issues that they want to come and work with. My background is in mental health services, so I worked for pretty much close to 25 years working with people with really quite chronic mental health issues. So, you know, I'll work with people who have depression, anxiety, grief and loss issues, but also just with people who are just finding some challenges in life, who are just a bit unsure of what their direction in life is and what their meaning. They're needing to make some new meaning into their life, or just got some inner conflicts that they're just having really a lot of difficulty in kind of working through by themselves. And also couples counselling. Very interested in working with gay couples out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, Kaz, you've recently commenced volunteering with the counselling service at the Victorian AIDS Council.
I have indeed.
What's your motivation for volunteering?
Well, look, I don't know. People out there, if you've never volunteered before, I really urge you to do it, because there's lots of reasons to volunteer. I've actually been, you know, in off and on over the years, been volunteering for over 25 years. And in fact, it was through volunteering that I got into this kind of work. I'm a musician, and a friend of mine worked in a drop-in centre for people with mental health issues, and invited me to come in and join their music group. Uh-huh. And I just loved it. And you get so much from giving, but you also learn so much. I've learned so much about myself through working with people who have incredible stamina and commitment to life, even though they've got some of the most difficult lives imaginable. It really kind of makes you kind of really grateful for all the little things in life you have. And also, look, it opens doors. I got work through volunteering. So, you know, I'd thoroughly recommend it to people out there.
Now, Kaz, have you commenced seeing clients at the Victorian AIDS Council yet? And if so, are they a mix? Or are you just seeing women, just seeing men, just seeing couples? What?
Yeah, well, I have started, and so far it's only been men. But I'm, mm-hmm. you know, kind
well,
of...
It's probably important to point out that the counselling service at the VAC is open to anyone within the GLBTI community.
Yes, absolutely.
Infected or affected by HIV as well.
Indeed, and people quite often think that it's only people living with HIV or affected by HIV, but of mm-hmm. course it's for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer, and really importantly, that questioning as well.
Mm-hmm. And it is a fantastic service, lots of great counsellors there, and it's affordable, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do, to continue to sort of work in the community as well as having my private practice. I mean, that's what my background is in, and I don't want to be one of these counsellors that's just counselling wealthy, middle-class people, as much as they obviously deserve and need good counselling as well. I really want to sort of keep in with people who possibly need it more, if not certainly the same, but don't have the money to pay for it. So that's important to me.
We're going to continue this really interesting conversation after we've heard some important announcements. This is a Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. That's right. This is Joy 94.9, and you're with Tex and Jason and our special guest tonight, Kaz Mitchell, talking about counselling and moving into art therapy. Now, Kaz, you specialise in art therapy. For the uninitiated, including me, what is art therapy and how does it differ from other forms of therapy that you might practice?
Sure. Well, look, art therapy, I studied art therapy about 17 years ago, mm-hmm. Back in Scotland, and it's not completely different to counselling. There's a lot of, you're still using all your counselling skills when you're being an art therapist, but really predominantly you are working through an art medium. So you might be using paints or pencils or clay even, and the whole idea is that we're making images. You don't have to be an artist. You know, one of the things that people say when I say I'm an art therapist, and you say, oh, I can't draw, I'm not artistic, it actually really doesn't matter. It's just about expressing yourself in other ways other than our verbal language, because quite often, well, for a number of reasons, sometimes we're very good at telling the same story over and over again until we're actually not connected to it anymore. So when we actually start to put it into an art form, we're expressing it in a new way. And I can't tell you the amount of times I've had a client who's been unable to get in touch with a lot of feelings, who've just drawn an image and then just cried. And sometimes they don't even know what it is that's happened. You know, they're not quite sure what it is they've drawn, but it will just touch something. So on that level, it works really well. It also works really well for people who just can't verbalize what's going on for them. It's just too difficult to sort of find the words that's going to describe their pain. Because the one thing about an art image is that it can say many things all at once, whereas, as I say, verbally, we're very used to talking and talking ourselves out of things and, you know, denying things. We've got lots of tricks when we tell our story that often don't reveal what's underneath. So
And is you said that you started studying this art therapy 17 years ago in Scotland. Mm. So there's a hint to the accent. but is it new? Is it relatively new? As in 17 years isn't actually all long ago?
No, it's been around for quite a long time. I believe it kind of really started to be recognised just after the First World War, or certainly people were kind of using art in a very ad hoc way with people with shell shock coming back from the trenches. Mm-hmm. People were getting people to use art back then, psychologists and what have you. And then also there was, I think, a hospital somewhere in the UK that was using art with TB patients. I think mm-hmm. there was an artist who was going in and working with these patients with TB, and they noticed that there was a young man there who with TB who every time he was about to have an attack,
yeah,
that's the right word, I don't know too mm-hmm. much about TB, he'd paint with red, and they still a bit of a mystery as to how this happened, but every time he painted in red, they found that he would then be, you know, throwing up blood.
Yes, yeah.
So people start to, and I don't know why that is, I've got no idea why that's related to art therapy, but people start to sort of take a notice that art could possibly, there could be something in this thing around using art with people in various means. So it's been around for a while, but it's still not terribly well known, because people are scared to be creative, mm-hmm. let's face it. People are a bit frightened to sort of show that side of themselves. Oh, I can't do that, I can't draw. So there's a lot of resistance to it.
Well, I guess that leads well into another question that I had, and that's, how does an art therapy session differ from, say, an art class?
Mm. Well, I'm not teaching people. So I'm not showing them how to do anything. I'm just asking them to just express themselves. So, and look, I might ask them to do specific things. I might, you know, an exercise might be to paint yourself or do a little drawing of yourself, how you're feeling now and what your life is like now, and then maybe do one how you want to see yourself in the future. So you've got something to talk about, basically. So it's just another way of addressing what's going on for a person. But the main difference is that once the image is out there, then we start to talk about it. So, you know, how are you feeling when you look at this? And trying to get them to interpret what they've put onto the page. So it's not about me interpreting it, it's about the client making interpretations, starting to make links. So,
okay, let's continue this great conversation after we've had another piece of music. It's from the Mamas and the Papas, and it's talking about the changing seasons.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was the Mamas and the Papas with California Dreaming. And once again, Tex has busted a little bit of François Sagat for us, and a little bit of French flavor to the evening. But if you've just joined us, we're chatting with Kaz about counseling. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about what I think is one of your passions, and that's art therapy. We've looked a little bit at how art therapy works and affects the clients. Do you think it's all about expressing those hidden concerns, or is there more to it than that?
I think there is more to it. I mean, one of the great things about art therapy is that once you do unleash people's creativity, they really start to take a bit of a pride in it. So people who start off and they may not think they're any good at it actually end up having a bit of a passion for it. It becomes a bit of a hobby as well as a healing thing. So I think I'm a great believer that creativity in any kind of any way that we can be creative is a very healing thing, just by itself, just by the very nature of the act of being creative. And yet I sort of feel that society today, we kind of shy away from that because we kind of, we've been told we're no good at it by teachers, or, you know, people have laughed at our meager attempts at being creative. And there's this thing where you have to be good, a professional.
Exactly. Gone are the days of being 3 years old and just being able to splash at some paint however you wish.
I mean, even things like music, because, you know, being a musician as well, in my parents' days, or certainly in my grandparents' days, you know, back in Scotland, they would have played music just at home, just for pleasure, because they didn't have tellies and they didn't have stereos. They would have just made music for themselves for pleasure. How many people do that now? If you're going to be a musician, it's expected you're going to be to such a high standard that you'll be a professional musician, and it stops people from kind of tapping into what can just be a great pleasure.
And just a creative output for the sake of a creative
output.
That's
right, that's right. So I think it does have that benefit as well, yeah.
And Kaz, what happens to the finished results? Are they taken home? Are people encouraged to take their art home with them, or are they exhibited?
A bit of both, actually. When I do art therapy, I tend to ask clients if we can keep them in the office while we're working on them, so that we can kind of keep bringing them out and reviewing them, and also so they're not tempted to destroy them as well, because people can sort of get a bit, you know, that's hopeless and I want to rip it up. But then at the end of the sessions, I would certainly be encouraging them to take them home. But, you know, some people have had them exhibited. There is a fantastic collection called the Cunningham Dax Collection in Melbourne, which is a collection, I don't know how far it goes back, quite a few decades, of art from psychiatric wards. And it's quite a fascinating exhibition.
I'd imagine.
Yes.
And for the interested listener, is there any recommended readings on the topic of art therapy, or is it something perhaps going to your favourite search engine and just typing in art therapy?
Yeah, like, I think so. I was having a long think about this, and to be quite honest, I've never found an art therapy book that's kind of just geared for the layperson to do. It's not, you know, like all these pop psychology books that are out everywhere.
Yep.
I've never found anything on art therapy that's of that kind of ilk. So, yeah, just Google away, I would say. I would have to say, though, that as well, you know, because, I mean, nowadays it's probably more counselling that I do, and I will only use art therapy if someone feels really comfortable with it, because it is difficult for a lot of people to pick that up. Mm. But I do try and encourage my clients to have a go.
Now, if anyone is interested, how can they contact you?
Well, I'm working at a place called the Delta Centre, which is a practice in Malvern. It's a very well-established practice. And they have a website, which is thedeltacentre.com.au. And I have also started a blog,
which is
in its very, very early stages. I hope to get lots of things on it over the weekend. And that's at www.kazmitchell.com.
And that's K-A-Z.
That's right.
Mitchell, M-I-T-T-C-H-E-L.
Yes, that's right.
.com.
And I hope to put up a little bit of information up there about, you know, the kind of counselling practice that I do, and a little bit about art therapy, but it is very new.
We also mentioned the counselling service at the Victorian AIDS Council. And for those interested in counselling at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, we suggest you call 9865-6700. 9865-6700 between the hours of 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the afternoon weekdays, and just ask to speak to the duty worker. Kaz, thanks for coming in this evening and discussing this interesting topic. It's been fantastic.
Thank you.
I've got one last question, and it's from a listener, actually.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
And I think it's a valid question. And that's, how can we trust that confidentiality will be maintained? But I guess, but this is probably more relevant to counselling services like the one at the VAC.
Yes.
And when he says that gays are the biggest gossips.
Well, apart from the counsellors. Look, we're very professional. It's drummed into us. I'm actually a teacher as well. I teach a diploma of counselling at ACAP. And it's one of the things that gets absolutely hammered home to all of the students, that, you know, it's essential to keep the The main thing about counselling, that the most successful thing about counselling is the therapeutic relationship and the trust that is built up between you, the client, and the counsellor. So they know, you know, the counsellors know that if they stuff that up, you know, they stuff everything up. So, you know, we are a very professional bunch. And that's just number one rule.
And we're also talking about, you know, the practice that you select if you're looking for counselling services needs to be one that you're comfortable with as well.
Yes.
So I think some people might feel more comfortable going to one that is, you know, more LGBT community focused, or one that's slightly separated for those same reasons. Whatever the best fit for the individual is.
That's right. And it's the same also often with cultural backgrounds as well. There's a lot of people who won't go to a service that's the same culture that they're from because they don't want other people to know. Certainly the mental health services, they don't want people to know that they've got a mental health service within the community. So it's a choice you make, I guess. You weigh up the pros and cons.
Exactly.
Once again, Kaz, thank you for coming in. It's been great.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9.
Trust me, no lowlife's gonna run me around. So let me tell you something, sister. Remember your name, no twister.
Oh, Tina Rena, you really do it to me. This Saturday the 23rd of March, from 1 till 5 in the afternoon, is the Autumn Barbecue for Planet Positive.
Oh, fantastic.
Planet Positive, for family and friends of people living with HIV. People living with HIV, their friends and family. They're having an autumn barbecue, and it's happening at DT's Hotel in Church Street, Richmond, the corner of Church and Hyatt Street in Richmond. You need to let them know, so perhaps a phone call tomorrow to Living Positive Victoria, 9863 8733. 9863 8733. There's no cover charge and there's complimentary food provided. You can enjoy great food, beverages and door prizes in a safe and friendly environment. So that's this Saturday, 23rd of March, from 1 till 5, the Planet Positive Autumn Barbecue, put on by Living Positive Victoria at the gorgeous DT's Hotel. Hello to Bruce at DT's, and that's at 164 Church Street in Richmond. But you do need to let them know you're coming. 9863 8733.
Now, I know next week on the show you're going to be chatting about this particular project, and it's really exciting. It's Generation Y Guys, which is a new peer support and social networking group for guys in their 30s and under who are living with HIV.
Oh, right.
So it's a new service out of Living Positive Victoria. If you want more information, you can contact Vic as well on 9863 8733, or just tune in next week when we'll be talking to Daniel from Living Positive Victoria about this new project.
Okay. Midsummer 2014. We've just got over Midsummer 2013. But Midsummer, MIDSUMMA, Midsummer are after your ideas if you've got a proposal or a concept for next year's Midsummer. Get to the website perhaps before the 31st of March with your ideas. Pretty easy website address to remember. Midsummer, MIDSUMMA, midsummer.org.au, and perhaps you can get an idea up or a proposal up for something that you'd like to see happen. As you think back to what's happened over the amazing events that have been happening over the Midsummer Festival this year. It was a great celebration this year, Jason. It was really good. I always love Midsummer.
It's a good fun festival. Now, the last thing we wanted to mention is the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre is looking to develop a drug and a program that focuses on drug and alcohol use and mental health within the GLBT community, and are currently looking for people to participate in some focus groups to help with the development of that project.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be holding groups in April, and if you want to find out more, you can contact Hillary And you can find the contact details on vicaids.asn.au. But the group should run for about an hour, and you'll be reimbursed $30 for your time.
So $30?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And again, this is a new project that's kicking off that will be looking at alcohol and other drugs, as well as mental health. And that's for the GLBT community.
Indeed. You know what, Jason?
What's that, Tex?
We've come to the end of the show once again. Coming up next, of course, is Hide and Seek, this week with Dean and Ben. Anyone you want to say hello to?
I'll say hello to Gary and Ian, Gary's dad, who might be listening this evening.
Okay. I want to say hello to Warren in Cairns, to Wayne in Nimbin, and to Deb, who's back in Reservoir. She's come back from Fiji. She did listen in Fiji. And we want to say good night and a very big thank you to Kaz Mitchell, our guest tonight, talking about art therapy. If you want to find out more about the Victorian AIDS Council's counselling services, you can go to our Facebook page, Well Joy, or just ring 9865 6700. We'll be back next week with more Well. Chat to you then. Cheers, everyone, and good night.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.